This is the sound of second chances. It's more than a bowl of pet food. It's nutrition that changes lives. It's the sound of healthy, happy pets. Not just in your home, but in shelters across the country. Because feeding your pet Hills helps feed shelter pets. Science did that. Hills Pet Nutrition. Buy the bag that gives back. Visit hillspet.com/giveback or tap the banner to learn more.
The host of The Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins, 3-7. And you can also catch Bill's work at the Macon Telegraph, Macon.com. And you got 41NBC on your Twitter handle there as well. So you're a man of many talents there, Mr. Shanks.
Just trying to pay the bills, brother. Just trying to pay the bills.
Just a son of a plumber.
I'm a son of a plumber. That's right. Now, yeah, I do still do a little TV. You know, I still enjoy a little television. That big part of my past, so I just keep my foot into it by being on a TV station nobody watches here in town.
By the way, I thought of you this morning, and my buddy John DuPont, also our buddy John DuPont, because I saw there was a headline in the AJC. Yes, exactly. There was a headline in the AJC about two lawyers had gotten into a fist fight in court. So I clicked on the clicked on the story, and it was in Pierce County. So
yeah, I saw that.
So I was like, oh, getting a little weight cross. Or I said, my man John DuPont. Then that made me think of Wade Cross and Bill Shanks, and it was like good stuff. All right.
I saw that.
Freddie to third base. I know you've been talking about it to your blue in the face, but you know, now that I've had like 24 hours to kind of think about it, I'm not hating it. I at least want to see what happens with it. But what are your thoughts on it?
I'm with you. I admire the heck out of him for doing this. I do. I mean, whether it works or not, you have to just admire Freddie Freeman for saying he'll do it. Whether he volunteered for it, was asked to do it, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You know, he could have said, I'm your first baseman. No, heck no, I'm not going over there. You know, trade Matt Adams, whatever. But Freddie is not like that, and he deserves tremendous credit for that. I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, sure, the thought of Adams and Freddie in the lineup is ridiculously enticing. I mean, excuse me, there's no doubt about that. But he's your franchise player. He's your franchise first baseman. And we just have to see how it plays out. I mean, first thing first, I hope they don't rush him back from his injury. And I know he's going to have another round of tests tomorrow where he'll see what's what with his hand. But, you know, I hope that's not being rushed back. Last night I talked with a scout who signed Freddie Freeman, Tom Batista, and who had him as a 13-year-old in a camp in Southern California for the Braves in 2003. And, you know, he reminded me that Freddie played third base almost exclusively his entire high school career. And he thinks he can do it. But, you know, obviously a decade later, what is he going to do? And we'll just have to see. But, I'm intrigued by it, and I understand the desire, again, to have both of them in the lineup, David, because, I mean, Matt Adams is just on another world right now. Nobody could have ever predicted this. And the thought of having Freeman third, Kim fourth, Adams fifth, Flowers fifth, sixth maybe, Marquez is seventh. I mean, that's a really, really good lineup.
You know, and Sam has been saying, I guess I'm probably asking Sam's question here too, though, but, you know, why wouldn't you try to sell Adams while he's hot? And, you know, I don't know what you could ultimately get for him. The Braves didn't get a whole lot for him, but granted, when they got him, it was a completely different situation, but you know, why wouldn't the thought process be that you might try to get something for Adams, or, you know, he could play in the outfield. I mean, he has played in the outfield, and could you try to move one of the other guys? Why is the first the first option, Freddie, going to third?
I don't believe they think that Adams can play in the outfield. They don't think he has the arm for third base. And so the trade is the other option. And I would trade him. Okay, now, me saying I would trade him is a lot different than John Coppola truly taking advantage of his value and getting what he thinks would be a good return for him. Now, I would hope the Yankees would be interested in him because they need a first baseman. They have a short porch in right field. He would probably fit in real well there. But, you know, if the Yankees won't give you what you want, then you better hold on to him. I think the overriding desire to have him stay and to see if something can work out where everybody can be in the lineup at the same time is the desire to win, is the desire to have a winning season and to have a product on the field that people will come to see. I go back to the stadium issue a little bit as one that I think continues to be involved here. And look, not that the Braves don't want to win. They want to win. But they are rebuilding. There's just a higher pressure to win this year because of SunTrust Park. And therefore, the thought of, well, if we keep him, we're going to be better in the second half of the season if Freddie can handle third base. That lineup's going to be really good. We're going to score a lot of runs. Hopefully our pitching will get better, yada, yada, yada. And I understand that thought. But, you know, if it was up to me, I would trade him. I mean, I think you've got to take – you're going to get more for him than you gave up. You've got to take advantage of his value. He's not a long-term piece for you. Freddie's not a long-term third baseman for you. You need to see what Rio Ruiz can do at third base anyway. But, you know, that's easier said than done. But I think that's the reason why they're trying this first. And I'm sure they'll continue to talk to teams if their teams are calling. You know, first base is not an easy position to – I mean, St. Louis had to give him away, you know, because – and they didn't have a partner, trade partner for him until Atlanta had, obviously, an opening with the entry of Freddie Freeman. So – but the thing that you would hope would be an American League team would say, hey, there's a DH for us right there. So we'll see how it happens.
It's funny because you're pretty much echoing the exact same things I've said about this Matt Adams, you know, and Freddie Freeman moving
well,
to third base.
You're a smart man then, Sam Franco. You're the smartest man I know.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it feels good to have your backup on that just because you know way more about the Braves and way more about the organization than I do. But it's just one of those things where I've used the term, and I used this yesterday, summer romance. I'm like, don't get caught up in the summer romance with Matt Adams. Trade him and get the most value back for him.
Well, what is interesting is we're talking about a player who has never had more than 17 home runs in a season, you know, and he's going to surpass that this year. I mean, he's got 11 home runs right now. He's on another level of offensively that he's never been on. I mean, 11 home runs for Atlanta, 12 overall. I mean, you know, 12 home runs and 167 at bats. I mean, this guy's on pace for 40 homers, and I mean, you know, he could literally have pushing 40 home runs if he continues his pace for the rest of this season. And now I think about this, you know, well. Let's say somehow they figured out a way to have him stay in the lineup and then trade him. Would they have even more value if he does hit? I mean, I think it's a safe bet he could hit 30-something home runs if he continues his pace by the end of the year. You know, would that allow them to get even more for him this winter compared to before July 31st? And that's a thought, you know. I mean, would teams have – I mean, he would be going in the last year of his contract, so it would be a one-year thing, but you can still get something going on, I would think, from a team that needs a power hitter. But here's the thing. To me, all right, the guy's never had more than 17 home runs before in his career, in a single season. He's got 12 overall in 167 at-bats. So even if you triple his stats, that's 36 home runs. Has the fact that he's got a kind of a new body by the workout regimen that he had over the offseason this past year improved his ability to hit home runs? Is this SunTrust Park? You know, is this what he's going to be moving forward for the long term? Well, maybe that's the case, but you also have to worry to some extent, don't you, that the old Matt Adams is going to return where he's only going to be that same 17-home-run-a-year guy. So boy, it's interesting. I mean, you never would have thought. We were sitting there, you know, the day that Freddie got hurt, thinking, my God, they're doomed, they're screwed, they're done, the season's over. And now we're talking about this. I mean, it's just amazing how this has played out over the last month. It truly is.
Now, getting to Freddie Freeman in this, it's funny because he's super close with Chipper Jones. We all know how Chipper rescued him on an ATV in the snowpocalypse from a few years ago. But it's one of the things that I've read is that Freddie reached out to Chipper here, and Chipper told him it was going to be tough, obviously. But do you think that, you know, that closeness with Chipper Jones and the fact that Chipper moved positions for the Braves kind of is maybe motivating or influencing Freddie Freeman here a little bit?
Nah, you know what? I don't. I think Freddie is just, he wants to win. He wants to get back. Listening to him last night, I mean, he's itching to get back. He's just, it's killing him. You know, it's absolutely driving him crazy to not be playing. And I think he really believes that if he could do this, this lineup is going to be better. And he's right. I mean, if he by some chance moves over there and it's like, wow, he's pretty good at third base, then I think he knows that team's going to be better and they're going to have a better chance to win. So I think it's simply Freddie thinking about what the team can do and how they can win moving forward. I think he knows, obviously, that it's a short-term thing because he's the first baseman for this club. But if it helps them in the short term, then that's the kind of kid he is, and I truly believe that.
Talking with Bill Shanks as the Braves are dealing with the Freddie Freeman situation. Something you said, though, a few minutes ago that I totally agree with. Don't rush him back, because it was like originally you're talking about 10 weeks, and now I think he's going on the road trip next week. I know he's not going apparently to play on the road trip, but you know, talking about the All-Star break, just as long as they don't rush him back to get him out there.
Yeah, he said that he hopes to be back in the Washington series before the All-Star break, which is 2 weeks from tonight, today. That's you know, 3.5 weeks before he was supposed to be back, maybe even four. So that worries me a little bit. But, you know, if Dr. Laurie, the surgeon who dealt with the injury, feels like he is okay. I mean, he's taking grounders, obviously. He's performing, you know. I mean, but it's the swing, you know. It's taking grounders a lot different than the swing because of the movement, obviously, that you have to do repeatedly for a bone that's been broke. That's what's going to have to be tested, and that's what's going to give him more time. I think his timetable about getting back to the Washington series is about defense. We don't know about the swinging yet.
Hey, Bill, so Bartolo Colon, we thought he was coming back last night. Now he's got a back issue, which maybe, I don't know, but what the heck's going on with that guy?
I think Brian Sinker told Bartolo Colon, look, I'm going to give you another start. And maybe Smith thought that at some point in between the front office would find someone to take him off their hands, that something else would happen, maybe that Newcomb wouldn't be doing what he's doing, and, you know, now the time is for him to play. I don't know what his physical situation is. I don't know what that's all about. We can definitely wonder if that's true or not. But, you know, it's silly, and I think we all know that he needs to go, and they're just trying to do it as cleanly as possible. I thought that the only reason they were not releasing him, I mean, the money obviously is a problem, and it's embarrassing to have to eat that much money. You took a gamble, and you lost. You took a gamble that he'd be able to give you the innings and be somewhat similar than he was last year in New York. It did work out. Yeah, I don't think it was a bad gamble. I don't. I think, you know, they wanted someone who they knew would only be a one-year thing and they could try to get some production out of. It didn't work. He's done. But so now that he is done, you know, they just got to figure a way to get this done cleanly and to get him out of here. And I thought, you know, going into the last couple of weeks that they would just try to find someone to take everything or you know, take him for $1 million, you know, save us $1 million and take him off our hands. And I don't know if they can do that or not.
Switching gears here, Bill, the Atlanta Hawks traded Dwight Howard after only one season. And it's weird because Coach Bud was in charge when, you know, they signed Dwight Howard. He wasn't only the coach, he was also the president of basketball ops or whatever you want to call it. Now they brought in Travis Schlenk from the Golden State Warriors brain trust, and he immediately comes in and says, all right, we got to get rid of this guy. So what do you make of the Dwight Howard era in Atlanta?
Well, I hope it means they're starting over by trading him because they need to. You know, it was I liked Dwight Howard. I mean, obviously he didn't fit with what Budenholzer does, which was makes you wonder why Budenholzer brought him in the first place because he was the one in charge. But I think he had a good year. I mean, Chris Vivlamore wrote in the AJC this morning about some things that obviously caused some issues with Howard. And they just didn't want that. They didn't want to deal with it. And I guess they found the best deal they could. The Miles Plumlee thing is, first of all, why would anyone in the world pay Miles Plumlee the amount of money he's paid? My God.
Well, why would you pay Dwight Howard that much money, too? Yeah.
Well, Dwight Howard's got a pedigree. Dwight Howard's got a resume. What's Miles Plumlee's resume?
He went to Duke.
That ain't enough.
He's got a bunch of brothers that play in the league. Got to support the whole family.
I mean, Dwight Howard getting $24 million makes sense compared to Miles Plumlee getting $12.5 million. I mean, Miles Plumlee's deal's like, what was it, 5 years, $60 million? I mean, why would anyone do something like that? But anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like a baseball contract.
You know, we found the Kenshin Kawakami of the NBA.
Exactly,
guess, right?
Exactly.
You know, but I hope they're starting over. They need to. I don't know what they're going to do tonight in the draft. I have no idea. I would guess a big man because they're going to need one with Howard gone and Millsap probably gone. But I hope it's not to make room for Millsap and his salary, because that's a big mistake. They need to start this thing over, have bad years, get draft picks, and try to find a star. Paul Millsap coming back would do nothing for this franchise in the long term and would only make them mediocre in the short term. So, but I think this is just the first step of what Schlenk wanted to do. You know, new GMs are active. Whether it doesn't matter who it is, John Coppola, Thomas Dimitroff, Danny Ferry was active when he took over the Hawks. When you get a new GM, chances are they're going to be very active. This team has half of its roster is eligible for free agency. So there's going to be a lot of changes on this team. And I don't think they'll bring Millsap back. I think they'll try to get as much flexibility with financial flexibility as possible and try to acquire assets and you know, search for a star. That's what it seems to be in the NBA. I mean, every team in every league, obviously, you search for a star. You know, every team who wants a quarterback in the NFL, you want him to be a star. Baseball, the Braves are hoping that they find stars. But in the NBA, you know, the star power is so powerful, to be honest with you, that you have to have someone that is just on an elite level. And if teams don't have that, they're nothing. And, you know, as good as Paul Millsap was, he's not near what they need. So that search for the next Dominique Wilkins will continue on in the year 26.
Bill, good stuff as always, my man. We do appreciate it. And looking forward to seeing how you are next Thursday. Since the Braves have one of those late first pitches Wednesday night.
Yeah. San Diego should be. This is a chance for them to get closer to 500. You know, they got some they got the game tonight with San Francisco, and then the first place Brewers come to town, but it's not like they're the Astros, and then two series of San Diego and Oakland. The next 2 weeks they could get closer to 500 here and have a good chance going into July 4th of being right there at it, which would be great.
Are the Brewers in the National League and the Astros in the American League?
Makes no sense.
Things that I can't get used to.
I know. So, and you know, I was thinking last night because of the Giants being in Atlanta. I guess, just sounding old here, that I just missed the old series the Braves used to have with the Giants and the Astros and the Reds and the Dodgers.
I know.
And the Padres, you know. I mean, it's just different now, and it has been for a long time, I know, but still, whenever the Giants or one of these National League West teams come to town, and the Astros will be there in 2 weeks for July 4th for a two-game series, it's just like, man, I kind of miss those days because they were a lot of fun back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was just – I mean, it didn't make any sense geographically, but still, yeah. it was something you were used to. And when you were a kid in the summertime and the Braves had the late games out in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and back then it was two trips per year, right? It wasn't just one. So was it three? Yeah, even three.
Three.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you would visit the Dodgers two different times. You'd visit the Giants, or was it three? I thought it was –
It was three.
Oh,
it was
That's right. It was 18
yeah.
games. So you had all the, you know, there were a lot of times where you were, you know, I remember one of the, and I don't know why I remember this, but the Braves got one hit by Bob Welch one night, and I think he faced the minimum. I'll have to look that up. When Bob Welch pitched for the Dodgers, it was like Larvell Blanks got a base hit, got wiped out on a double play. And that was the only base runner that they had. I have to look that up. I may be off there. Maybe it was 28 batters or whatever. But that's like the kind of stuff I used to remember from being a kid and, you know, midnight or 12:30 trying to hang on and see if you could watch the Braves. Unfortunately, they lost a lot of those games. That wasn't the fun thing. But it was still fun to stay up and watch the Braves when they were out on the West Coast during the summer.
Some of my best memories of childhood during the summer are – of staying up, watching the Braves, and you know, having the front door open with the screen door there, and watching the game late at night, and you know, having my buddy from the neighborhood, we've been playing ball all day. We'd sit there and play baseball cards or play something and watch the game, and it's just the way life was back then. You know, yeah, you had so many of those late night games. I mean, I was a late night person probably because of that, and then I, you know, worked in news where I didn't get off until 11:30, but it was mainly because of the fact that I was allowed for most of my childhood really to stay up and watch a lot of those late night games, even, you know, the ones on Friday and even during school years during the school year. Be able to stay up on Friday night and watch them, or Saturday night, and then during the summer. I mean, that's just part of what we did. It was fun too. You know, those Dodger teams that were we hated, you know, were fun to. They were just great games, and it was great memories for sure.
I thought everybody's infield stayed together for a decade. As it turns out, it was only the Dodgers.
I know. Yeah, I saw a picture the other day. I don't know when it was. They recently, when Washington was in town with Davey Lopes, the first base coach for the Nationals, they had a picture of the four of them and so forth. But, you know, David, the Braves had Chambliss, Hubbard, Ramirez, and Horner together for I think 6 years.
That's pretty good, yeah.
80 through, and, you know, Horner finally moved to first base over there, but that was even 6 years was a pretty long time.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of good memories of those West Coast late night games.
Bill, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, enjoy. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, you too. Bill Shanks.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.